Welcome everybody. My name is Erik Westerberg, and I work at Business Unit Networks, where I help out with development and design of our mobile broadband solutions. Before I start, I should say that it's really honored to be here today. It's not often that I, in my work, get to meet with the investor community. And knowing the importance of your work and the impact you have on our industry, it's really good to meet you, and I'd like to thank you for taking your time to come to this session. So I would assume that most of you are interested in understanding the mobile broadband industry in general, and maybe the Ericsson business opportunities in particular. And now you find yourself in a session about radio insights. So how did that happen? Well, what I hope that you can take with you from this session are some insights in the challenge that the operators are facing building out their mobile broadband coverage. In particular, I will argue that when these data applications become a natural part, an integral part of people's lives, and in combination with these applications, as we say, moving to the cloud, and the importance of being online, the requirements on the mobile broadband coverage will be at least as tough as the requirements on voice today. It will not be okay not to be online. And as we shall see, the investments that the operator have to do, or the because of radio fundamentals, we'll see the challenges it takes to provide that mobile broadband coverage everywhere. And in fact, I will argue that since this is a moving target, I mean, how many of you are happy with the 500 kilobit per second DSL connection that you found so fantastic 5 years ago? Because of the increased expectations, these networks will never be finished. There will always be room for more investments in the RAN to increase your top line because of coverage competition. But that's a conclusion that I make, and I will let you do your conclusions after this session. So the driving force here is the data applications. And as people are using social networks more and the applications go cloud, and what do we mean by application go cloud? This is a hype thing, but what it really means that applications that used to execute locally in your phone or on your PC, like you had music that was stored on your phone and you could listen to it everywhere, is now executed on a server somewhere in the internet because of the lower production cost and the different business models that are catching up or hanging on. So now that same music service is to many people provided as a streaming service from Spotify or similar companies. And to use that service to its full extent, you need to be online. Sure, you have an offline mode, but in order to search for new music and listen to new music, you need to be online. And it's not going to be okay when you have your calendar up in the cloud, not to have access to your calendar just because you're in a meeting room deep inside a building where you don't have mobile broadband coverage. And it's not going to be okay to be without Facebook or social media for 4 days when you're at your summer house. You need to have mobile broadband coverage everywhere. And if you have an application, say, where you track your toddlers, your small kids, and you get alarmed that this kid is now gone. We don't see him in the network anymore. What has happened? If you get that every time they go out of coverage, if that happens a few times per day or a few times per week, that erodes the service. It becomes useless. So the importance of these services and the fact that they're executed in the cloud put requirements on the mobile broadband coverage. And what then do we mean by mobile broadband coverage? In simple terms, good enough mobile broadband coverage is coverage which is good enough for you to run your favorite applications in with a good performance. And normally, I would say always, that is associated with a throughput. So you need a certain throughput downlink to the terminal and a certain throughput uplink to be able to run the application at with good performance. And for some applications, that's 100 kilobits per second. Other applications, like moving video, that could be 500 or maybe 1 megabit per second, or 4 megabit per second for HD, TV, etc. So what do you need to have a good mobile broadband coverage? If I want to have 10 megabit per second right here, right now, what does it take? Well, first of all, you need to have the signal strength. Now we go into radio here. So you need to have the signal strength. If I don't have the signal strength, enough signal strength here, and enough signal strength on my mobile up to the tower, I will not have that throughput. Once I have the signal strength, that's a fundamental, I need to get rid of some interference from other base stations, because that's like a noise environment in a pub, that you need to get the noise level down to hear what we're saying. So you need to push down the interference. And secondly, you must make sure that there are not too many users in the cell, because it's a shared resource, and if everybody wants to access the same tower, the fraction of bandwidth to each individual will be quite small. So let's have a quiz. If you're in, let's say, in a hotel room in New York on fourth floor, and you're having a mobile broadband experience that is not particularly good, would you think that that would be typically attributed to too weak signal strength, too much interference, or a congested cell? Anyone dare to guess? All three. Or you could blame Microsoft, right? No, it would be, in 90% of the cases, in some cases it would be congestion. And maybe in New York more than other places. But if you look globally, 90% of the cases is going to be signal strength. In a place like San Francisco, it would probably be 50-50 between signal strength and interference, because they have a rather difficult planning situation with all the hills and water and everything. But it's about signal strength. So mobile broadband is really about getting the signal strength out there. And that then takes me to the radio part. And now comes the challenge. Now I will go a little bit into radio, but don't panic at this point. I will provide you with four simple rules. And if you apply these rules, they will take you through all the conversations you will have with colleagues about radio for the rest of your careers. You make and you will win the conversations. So it could be worthwhile to listen to these four rules then. It will take you 90% right in 90% of the cases. So what are these rules? Before we go into the rules, let's just see how we measure signal strength. If you want to measure distance, in the US, I lived in the US for a few years, then you measure in miles. If you measure in Europe, you measure in kilometers. If you want to measure signal strength, you use a measure called decibel or dB. If you double the signal strength, you increase the measure with 3 dB. If you double it again, you increase it with another 3 dB. So that is just a measure we use for signal strength and for interference. Rule number one, power and spectrum are the limiting resources, linking, coverage, and capacity. What the heck do I mean with that? Well, what I mean is that if I have power in a base station, I can use that power to shout to somebody very far away using all the power for my friend over there who will have a good throughput far away from the base station. That's coverage, far away. I could alternatively use this power to distribute it among all you guys, and you would have a good mobile broadband experience because you're close to the base station. So I can use the power either for coverage, deep inside buildings far away, or for capacity for many users close to the base station. But that will limit the coverage. I'll not talk to the guys over there. It costs me too much power. So unlike voice, mobile broadband is a trade-off or a combination of coverage and capacity. And if you build for coverage, you put more energy out there and you will get capacity for free. If you build for capacity, you also put more energy out there and you will get a certain amount of coverage for free. So coverage and capacity go hand in hand. Once you have the basic coverage out there, then increasing the mobile broadband levels, getting the application out there, is fairly similar. It's the same kind of investments if you go for coverage or capacity. You need more radio units and you need a whole set of software features. Software features can help you to direct the energy, which you can use either for coverage or capacity. Rule number two, if you're in signal strength trouble, which we said that we were 90% of the time, if you double the signal strength, you get double the throughput. It's as simple as that. Rule number three, if I want to push something to you, I need to make sure that you have a good enough reverse link. And that is because of the way TCP/IP works, that I send some data down, then I get acknowledgments back, then I can send more data down. And you need roughly 1-to-10 ratio. And why is this important? Well, it's important because the base station has a lot of power, some 80 watt to push downlink. The UE has maybe 0.3% of that, 250 milliwatt. So that link from the UE up to the station will be the weakest one. In fact, that link will even limit the downlink data because of this rule number three. You need to have the reverse link. So the uplink is going to be much, much more important. That's important to know when we discuss how we can battle this, how we can fight this, how we can help the operators. And rule number four, I thought you would like this one because it links all the above to the number of base stations the operator need to invest in. So it tells you that if you double the number of base stations, you average get closer to the base stations, which means average, you get a higher received signal strength, right? You hear each other better. And doubling the number of base stations, you gain roughly 6 dB. So let's do an example calculation and use these rules. How many more base stations would the operator need to deploy if I want to go from basic voice coverage to 10 megabit per second everywhere service? So I look at my phone, here I am. I can see that I have 1 bar on my signal strength. That's enough to make a voice call. So I have roughly 15 kilobits per second uplink. Now I want to go to 10 meg down, so I need 1 megabit uplink, right? How many times do I need to double the throughput to go from 15 kilobit per second voice coverage to 1 megabit per second data coverage? Let's see, 15. I go to 30, 60, 120, 500, no, 250, 500 and 1 meg. 6 doublings from 15 to 1 meg. So I need to double the signal strength 6 times. That's 3 dB times 6, that's 18 dB. Great. I go to rule number 4. I double the number of base stations once, I get 6 dB. I double them twice, I get 12. I double them 3 times. Now I have the coverage. 8 times more base stations than I had deployed altogether since 1992. That's a lot of base stations. So what does this tell us? Well, these are ballpark rules. It tells you that if you were to build for the same coverage, 10 megabit per second downlink everywhere, not just in 70% of the coverage area, but everywhere, it will be a lot of base stations. So this tells us that this will not be deployed by August next year. So there's going to be some coverage differences between different operators. So it's going to be a competitive advantage to have a better coverage than your competitor because of the applications always available. And for Ericsson, this means that our task, what we want to do is we want to help our operators win this competition. We want to help them to get the bandwidth out there, to get as much bandwidth out there as where it's needed from a coverage perspective at the lowest possible total cost of ownership. And how can we do that? Well, remember that it's really the uplink that limits performance when it comes to coverage. It's the weak signal strength from the mobile phone to the base station. So what can we do? We can equip our base stations with really good ears. Just like the Bose noise-canceling headphones. I mean, if you ever wore those, you know that even in a noisy airplane environment, you can listen to rather low-key music because the noise level is reduced by software that they have deployed in the headphones. We can do similar tricks in our base stations by software algorithms, as we call it, that is software we design to filter out the signal strength and suppress the noise levels. And by doing that, you effectively increase the signal strength that you can hear. And suppose we do that with 1 dB, and I would claim that Ericsson, this is not standardized. It's proprietary algorithms that our research department has provided for us, which we implement in our base stations. And I would claim that we are best in class in this. And if we have a 1 dB advantage, it doesn't sound like much, like 0.9 dB between, what's 0.9 dB between friends? But 1 dB higher sensitivity means you can deploy 20% fewer base stations. And that is money, because it's not just the base station. You can deploy 20% less towers, including the civil works, the transmission, the power and everything. So that's one clue to what we call the radio advantage, which is why we claim we have a cost advantage with the Ericsson solutions compared to our competitors, because these features translate to fewer base stations needed for the same coverage. What else can we do? We can equip our base station with elephant ears, really big ears. That corresponds to going from 2 receive antennas to 4 receive antennas to 8 receive antennas. Every time you double the number of antennas, you recover 3 dB. So going to 2, 4, 8 is 6 dB. If you can go to 8 antennas, you can reduce the number of base stations by 50%. That's money too. So I spent quite a bit of my time last year talking to one of the Chinese major Chinese operators in Beijing. And they told me that it was in the context of deploying LTE and how should they go about going from their technology to LTE and how many towers would they need to build, etc. And they said, Frank, we will do 8 antennas. And they actually had deployed those on some sites for TD-SCDMA technology. So they took me on a site tour to look at those antennas. And it wasn't a pretty sight. I mean, if you look at the doors over there, on the cupboard, and you think of the doors and you make them 3 times as tall and twice as big, and you put them on buildings and on towers, it's not a very pretty sight, but it does the job. It gets much better coverage, and they can do that, and they will do that. If I talk to my colleagues at AT&T or friends at AT&T in the US, they say, we cannot do that. We don't get permits to put up these antennas. We have to do, we'll do 4 antennas, but not 8 antennas. So these are things we can do. And for every antenna pair that goes up, you need another radio unit into that Johan Wiberg showed you. That's a small investment to reduce the number of sites. And the great thing with antennas is that once you get the antennas up, you can do all kind of radio magic with interference suppression. You have software you can sell that reduces the interference level with features that we call beamforming or MIMO or interference cancellation or comp or a lot of radio lingo. But the thing is that we can get the interference level down, hence increasing the mobile broadband coverage, reducing the number of sites. So there will be lots of features that we will continuously develop. So a coverage increase that doesn't necessarily mean very many more base stations if you can do it with software. Now, suppose, how should we build these networks then? Suppose that you had a football stadium and you had 4 big beacon lamps sort of illuminating the stadium. It gives a dim light, so you can walk around not bumping into each other, but you couldn't really play football on the field. If you want to increase that light intensity with a factor of 60 or 70 or 1,000 or 100, that means going from a weak radio fog that gives you voice to a high intensity radio environment, you have mobile broadband. How would you go about? And the first thing you would do was to ask the lamp provider, could I have stronger light bulbs? And you can do a little bit with that. The second thing was to put up more towers to get a stronger light. The third thing would be to walk around and look at the shady areas of the stadium, which you cannot reach effectively with the big ones. They would put in small lamps. And that is exactly how we build the next generation networks. We call it HETNET. It's a mixture of more macro base stations, the RBS 6000 family that Johan was talking about, combine that with small base stations that you can put in pockets of the network. You could put it indoors, outdoors, basements, enterprise buildings, etc. And while we're at it, we want to use whatever tools we have, so we want to use Wi-Fi as well. Wi-Fi is a tool in the operator toolbox that has some advantages, but also some disadvantages. The advantages is that it's free. You don't pay for the spectrum. It's like a restaurant owner and you don't have enough space for tables inside, and all of a sudden the town says, well, you can put some tables on the sidewalk, but you need to share that space with some other restaurant owners nearby. Great, free space, use it. So Wi-Fi then is great as a capacity enhancer. Given that the Wi-Fi mobile transmits only 1/4 of the power than a 3GPP mobile, it may not be that great for coverage. 3GPP works better for coverage, but it's a great capacity enabler. The drawback is that this sidewalk or this pub area is common space. So it's like you go to the pub, right? I go there with my brother and my friend, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we can have a decent conversation, having a beer. 6 hours later, it's a different story. The place is packed, it's busy hour, people are talking, laughing, there's music in the loudspeakers, and to make things worse, there's a bunch of Swedish guys singing schnapps songs in the corner, so you cannot really hear each other anymore. So in that situation, isn't it great if the pub owner can say, well, I have this VIP room, you're welcome to go in there. There's nobody else there, a few guys, but they are low-key. You walk in there with your beer, you close the door, and you can continue your conversation. And that is like the VIP licensed spectrum the operators have. So it's great to use these in combination, right? You have the common pub area, gives you extra table space, extra capacity, and you have the controlled VIP rooms, which is a licensed spectrum. And the key here is to have an intelligent doorman who tells you that, well, you can walk in here, but you have to stay outside. With your subscription, we move you to the licensed spectrum, where your applications is good enough to be on the Wi-Fi best effort. And to make that intelligent decision on a per case basis, that is what we translate into radio resource algorithms. To decide, looking at the interference situation in the Wi-Fi port, judging based on knowledge about the applications and the subscriptions, move people in and out of the safe haven of life or licensed spectrum. If the user gets too far away from the base station, the Wi-Fi uplink is not good enough, move them to LTE, keep the mobile broadband coverage. If they go further away, move them up to the macro base station. So the key here is to use the tools you have, but to use them in a coordinated way. And that is not standardized. That is something that we work with to provide radio network solutions rather than just boxes. And you saw Johan's slide, I like that one, where you can see that the RBS 6000 multi-standard radio takes you to a situation where you deploy all three technologies in a city to the same vendor. You have GSM, wideband, and LTE given to vendor A, and the other city to vendor B. The same thing here. We see that when we discuss with operators. You give the macro base station, you want the macro base stations and the picker base stations to come from the same vendor in the same area. Then you can have a different vendor in another area, because you need this coordination. And those coordination algorithms are not standardized. So you need to rely on your vendor doing a good job there. So, I think we're running out of time. Want some time for the Q&As. So I'll go to the conclusion. So really, starting from the beginning, what I claimed is that mobile broadband coverage is going to be required with the same availability as voice is today. The difference is that once you have deployed voice, if I deploy 50 kilobit per second voice coverage here, it's going to be voice coverage here with the same base station 17 years from now. I don't need to deploy it. I can build for capacity. With mobile broadband, first of all, I need to get much more signal strength down there. That's both new sites, new towers, but also software algorithms. So a coverage build-out requires more software than it did for voice, because I have these antenna and beamforming and stuff. Once I do that, I'm hit by the interference more the base station that I just deployed. So I need software algorithms to get rid of the interference. So then I deploy the software. And this software we continue to develop. And like with Infinity, the problem with Infinity is that once you get there, you're only halfway. And it's about the same here with base station. Once you get to the mobile broadband target, that target has moved away. So if what mobile broadband coverage is good enough tomorrow will not be good enough 2 years from tomorrow. So you see, these networks are never finished. The RANs will, it's a competitive advantage. Investment in the RAN will enable you to make your users more happy than they would be on the other network. It's a top line driver. And on a personal level, I think that's just great, because I really love my work. And I want to help the operators be successful for many years to come, developing new radio features, etc. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you could take something with you back home. At least you can win some radio discussions. So yes, let's have questions.